MRAP breaking news.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's still some people out there saying that this COVID thing is basically like flu. It's just like a worse form of flu. And it sort of drives me crazy. Because when was the last time that flu season completely shut down New York? Where there was outbreaks in multiple different countries at the same time to the point where their healthcare systems were collapsing. Sure doesn't seem like flu to me, but I got somebody far smarter to talk about a review article from JAMA. His name is Professor Dave Schreiger. You've seen him on the shows that we've been doing live. He's a professor at UCLA. He's also one of the editors at JAMA and the Annals of Emergency Medicine.
Well, we don't know what it would have been like in 1918 if we had a reprise of that right now. But certainly since then, we have seen nothing in terms of an influenza season that comes anywhere like this. There are times when ERs are very busy and they're overwhelmed with patients and they're maybe even setting up a parking lot tent to handle the extra volume. But in those situations, the hospitals aren't that busy. They're busy, but they're not overwhelmed. The other thing is that flu is typically has seasonal and therefore geographic variation, where it's big in the southern hemisphere during their winter and our summer, and then it flips over and it gets busy in the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere takes a break. Right now, basically, you have simultaneous severe epidemics, you know, within the pandemic on both sides of the equator at the same time. And so this isn't behaving much like the flu that way. And I think people who try to make the argument that this is just a bad flu, they fail on a couple of counts. One clearly is we do not know of a New York or an Italy or any of the other places that got hit really hard in any flu season that any of us were around to remember. Two, there were some people who get the flu who get very, very sick. But the majority of people who, the flu in some ways has become what pneumonia used to be. Now that antibiotics stop pneumonia from being the old man's friend, to some extent the flu is that. And it doesn't require that much intensive care, even during a bad year. Most of the people many of the people are nursing home patients, their DNR and the flu takes them. But then we get into what this article is about, which is, are we getting the counts right? So what do you need to have an accurate death count? You need both an accurate cause of death and then an accurate count of the number of people who died who with their accurate cause of death. And interestingly enough, vital statistics are pretty dismal in terms of you look at the way that they're collected, both in terms of determining the cause of death and in terms of counting them. And that varies between countries, where some countries have very accurate and up-to-date vital statistics, at least in terms of numbers, not necessarily in terms of cause, and other countries, particularly LMICs.
That's low and middle-income countries.
Struggle to have anything in terms of meaningfully accurate counts of deaths. But getting back to the cause of death, there's all kinds of reasons to believe that these data are completely inaccurate for any condition except maybe trauma. I mean, it's pretty clear if you die of a gunshot wound to the head, that's what you died of. But how does someone get diagnosed as dying of the flu, Mel?
Well, you die during flu season and there's no other obvious cause and you just want to fill out a death certificate. That's how it usually works.
Exactly. So there's no requirement that the person be tested. And so you can imagine a nursing home patient who passes during flu season. And it's very easy for the physician who's caring for that patient to fill out a death certificate and say they died of the flu. End of story. They're 98 years old. They died of the flu. That doesn't mean they died of the flu. They may have, but they also may have died of 15 other things, but it was a convenient way of labeling it. So there's reason to believe that we could be undercounting or in many ways overcounting the number of people who die of the flu. On the COVID side, you really have to get into the weeds to start to understand what they're counting as a COVID positive death. So do you require a positive RNA PCR? Clearly a secondary event like an MI or a stroke. Which way is that person diagnosed and what are they calling the cause of death? There are lots of things where you could have significant variability in who gets labeled as a COVID caused death as opposed to some other death. And so again, there's lots of reasons to suspect that there's overcounting and undercounting. So, you know, my take on all this is that you can take the counts as we currently know them, and someday we will have better counts perhaps. But at present, you can take all these counts and pretty much throw them out the window. They just don't mean a whole hell of a lot. And reasonable people could get counts that are off from each other by 20, 30, 40%.
So it came up in the JAMA article, and you can see it there in the show notes, that maybe flu deaths are something more like 4,000 to 15,000 people per year if you do the direct count. And that would mean that, you know, 60,000, 100,000, 150,000 COVID deaths is obviously substantially more. So they're just estimating the flu deaths when they talk about this sort of 30 to 60,000 a year?
Yeah, but basically they have some data, you know, using different criteria, and then they extrapolate. And so they try to model how many likely flu deaths there were based on what's hopefully a higher quality sample of cause of death. But when you actually look at the number of people who kind of had proven flu at the time of death, and that still doesn't mean that they died of flu. They may have had the flu and they had a heart attack. And then it's the question of, well, what do you want to say that their heart was strained by the flu and that's why they had the heart attack and the flu really was the cause of death? Or do you want to say, no, they had a mild case of the flu and they clotted off a vessel and off they went? So again, it's not exactly clear. And, you know, it used to be that we did a lot of post-mortem examinations. And although they're an imperfect way of determining cause of death, they're certainly better than doing nothing. In the modern era, almost no patients get post-mortems who aren't, you know, don't belong to the homicide department or something like that. And so we really don't know. But the numbers that are often quoted, those 50, 60,000 numbers, are based on extrapolations of smaller samples. And so one could argue, again, I think reasonable people could make arguments that the actual true number of deaths from flu in this country could be any, you know, could be within a large, you know, at least one magnitude difference from like 6,000 to 60,000 or even more. And reasonable people could disagree as to what the true number is.
And so the flu death count may be just wrong, but the real thing is just look at what's happening clinically. Just go into a emergency department in New York during the peak, or in Spain, or in Italy, or in Chile, or in Brazil, and take a look around. Videos that have come out of Peru, just take a look around. There is just, this is not flu. This is just overwhelming. And so there have been people, very prominent people like Elon Musk, saying, well, no, they're just way overcounting the COVID deaths because there's a financial incentive to say this person died of COVID. And so therefore they've way overcounted them. And maybe there's a little bit of that happening, but clinically, that's not what's happening.
The hospitals in New York didn't get a rush of patients due to something other than COVID. You know, it's not like everybody decided to get sick from something else at the same time. And, you know, could there be some manipulation? Of course there could. But the fact is, this huge uptick in overall deaths is predominantly due to COVID. There's no question about that. And so to say, oh, no, these people are dying of something completely different and they're just calling it COVID, that doesn't account for the increase in deaths or the increase in total volume. And the fact is, just for the safety of the staff, virtually every patient who's admitted to the hospital now is having a COVID test. So you pretty much know if they have COVID or not. And if anything, we're more likely to have a false negative COVID test than a false positive. So it may be that certain people who actually are COVID positive are not being called a COVID death because they tested negative with a false negative. So if anything, my guess would be that they're undercounting the number of COVID deaths.
So I wanted this to be short and sweet and just sort of remind us. COVID is not the flu. We have lots of reasons to believe that it's not acting like the flu. It is not acting like the flu. It's in multiple countries, crushing multiple emergency departments and ICUs at the same time. It's not like flu. These death rates that you hear about flu probably are an overestimate. And currently, the COVID deaths may be an underestimate. So this is way worse than flu, and we should treat it that way. That doesn't mean that we need to be locked down forever. We're about flattening the curve. We talked about this in our last breaking news segment. This is about flattening the curve. You're not going to be able to stop all of these people getting infected until there's a vaccine. So we're just trying to slow this down. Yes, the economy has to open, but don't fool yourself that this thing can't explode again, because it really wants to explode again. We just have to be smart about how we think about it. And thinking of this like you do for flu is not smart thinking. It ain't flu. It's not some terrible Ebola that's, you know, airborne and has an R-naught of 20 and a death rate of 20%. It's not that bad, but it's worse than flu.